Thank you. So today is the 13th of June, 2019. It is the 10th of Sivan, Tav Shanai in Tes, and the day of Yosef Gross's graduation from 4Y.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, yes. Performed beautifully. So we are in towards the beginning of the parak. So Yat Moshe is approached by the Nos Slavchad, and they're very quick to point out, right, by the way, in Pasuk Gimel, right, right, our father died in the desert, but don't worry, he wasn't amongst the Eidah Hanoadim al Hashem Beidas Korach, and argued against Hashem amongst Korach, rather he died because of a sin. So what was that he died because of a sin? So Rashi suggests that maybe he was the Mekosh Hashitzim. It probably just means that he was one of the people who died in the desert. Because everybody died in the desert. So that's but why are we so quick to say, oh, he wasn't amongst from those people with regards to Korach? So the Sforno says, he says, well, but that's Korach. Dinim shiyavid mamon b'cherem. He says, well, don't forget the rule with regards to the members of the Korach people. So they, as opposed to the Kol people, the Korach people, they lost all of their possessions. So therefore, they're coming to Moshe and saying, you know, our father died. We're like, well, you know, if he died because he's part of the Korach people, you got no argument. They said, no. He wasn't one of those people. Rather, he's a different people. Shachrima Moshe, because Moshe took all their possessions, you're going to leave and you're going to lose all of those things. So, and right in his, and says that, and rather, he died because of his sin. So adds in Sforno, lo haya onesh keto ela shiyamos, right? So the sin of his, I mean, the Sforno makes a diyuk. He died from his sin, and the punishment for that sin was only that he should die, right? Not lo shiyavin mamonu mina yorshim, and not that he should lose all of his money from the yorshim. Yes. Yeah, so I believe their offspring died as well, but yeah, they lost all their sons of Korach were Levian. So they don't count. The other people, you got to look back exactly at the diak in the last parak, but I believe so.
The daughters were from the tribe of Ephraim.
Which daughters? The Slavkad people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right, so they're just making the point. We weren't part of Korach's group, rather part of a different group. They were from Menashe. Yeah, they're from, it says it here, who they were from. They're from Yosef. They're from Menashe. Yeah, the Shvach of Menashe being Yosef, right. Yeah, I think they did.
The head of the family rebelled,
so
the entire family died?
No, well, sometimes that is the case, but that might not be the case here. But they lost their inheritance. I mean, that person lost their chelek. Now, what happened to their kids? Where were they supposed to live later on? I don't know. You have to talk to the housing commissioner. I don't know what happened. But that's the assumption. The assumption is that those people that were killed with Korach lost everything. So comes the Rabban and says, he said, I'll give you a more simpler pshat, b'derech hapshat. My thought, according to the pshat, is, right, sh'amru kacha bavur, that why'd they say this? Bavur sh'chashru sh'moshu rabinu hayasona adas Korach yosim kolachotim sh'mesu midbar. What their concern was, is that maybe Moshe has it in for the Korach people. Right, so we want to make sure, right, because they took things personally with him. They stood up against him, and they were denying all of his actions. They thought that maybe they would be hated, so therefore they wanted to make it clear that they're not like that. Rather, they're fine. So that is shot number two, I guess. And then he concludes as well. This is Vatamki Chatumes Amru Meis Vimbar Avonu Shalos Zachli Chanis Lars O Kedivra Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that he suggests Yomar Hayom Shehu Davak Im Ubanim Lo Ayulo Kasher Yomar Hayom Ba Avonos Ira Kach Vekach. I forgot what this was. Okay, I don't remember what that last pshat was. Okay, but the pshat, right, why specifically Korach? So again, the two pshat that we did give, number one from the Sforno, which the Ramban alludes to as well, is because the Korachites lost all of their property, so therefore we're not part of them. And the other one is that, no, we didn't take, it was nothing personal, Moshe, right? We didn't have any personal past. right? Rather, we're from a different sin, and therefore, or something else, and therefore, you should have some response to us, or at least give us your ear.
You don't mean the Korah. You mean everybody that joined Korah.
Okay.
Not his family.
Right.
Because they were
the team. Right. Right. The Korah team.
Team, yeah.
The Korah army. That's right. He's dropping T-shirts all over the place. They were from Reuven, I believe, is what it says in the beginning of Korach. The Shimonites were the people who were, many people were involved with Zimri and involved with that sin. But they were from Reuven. That's the beginning of Parshas Korach. It makes out of Reuven, Palace, B'nai Reuven. Plus, yeah. Okay. So what else do we got? So in Pasuk Zayin, so Hashem says to Moshe, saying, yeah, the daughters of Slavchat spoke well. You should give them an inheritance amongst the brothers Achayavihem, and the portion of their father should go to them. So So the Orach Chaim has a couple of explanations. Why is this necessary? Right? Cain benos Slavchad. Yeah, they spoke well. What are we trying to get from the idea that they spoke well? So he says, yeah, hitzik Hashem mashadonosh tzichalam, that he was impressed with the way that they thought about it. Right? Not that they were mechadish, they didn't come up with anything new, but just a comment that they thought well. They came up with the idea, and therefore they should get some credit for that. He also adds on at the end, therefore Hashem wanted to, his kavanah was to sort of give them an explicit answer to them, and not just include them in the halacha. Right? If you get a personal question, so give a personal answer, don't just quote a halacha to them and let that person figure out what their approach should be.
Is our assumption the reason that they came channels and nobody knew?
Did they already ask the other judges first?
Yeah, the circuit court or whatever. We don't
know. It doesn't say one way or another. Which it doesn't. I didn't see one way or another any idea like that.
Okay.
What would you prefer?
I guess that they followed the procedure and they couldn't get an answer out of the.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
right. So then Hashem gives those halachos, and he says, if those brothers to the father, you'll give the nachla l'sheirot to the relative that's closest to them, and they'll inherit it by son, pasuk yiral, by son, l'vnei Yisrael, l'chukas mishpat, it will be for the Jews, l'chukas mishpat. What is that? So the Ramban makes a comment, sheyeh mishpat hazeh l'doros, lo b'nachla ta'aretz atabulvat. Says not only this is a rule for all generations, not just with regards to the inheritance in the land now. Because remember the land, the rules are a little bit different, right? Their land is only going to specific people based on the family, not necessarily based on how many. There were some details about how the land is being divided in the last parak. So he's saying this part about the inheritance of the land, that it'll go to daughters if there are no sons. So that is a din ladoros. That is a din for all, a halacha for all generations. That's the way that it's going to be. Okay. What else do we got? So, Vayomer Hashem, Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayomer Hashem, Elusha, Alei El Har Vrim Hazeh. You're going to see the land which I'm going to give to them. Urisa Usav and Estafta Alamech. You're going to see it, and then you're going to be gathered amongst your people, meaning you're going to die soon. And therefore, that's what's going on here. So the Orach Chaim says, Vil Hispik Mashekfar Amor Reis Aret. Right? It wasn't enough that he already said that you're going to see the land. I mean, it says it twice. Right, go to Har Abarim, right? Ureyas Haaretz, see the land, which I'm giving to Bnei Israel. V'ra'isa usa, and you will see it. V'nesafta elamech, and you'll be gathered amongst your people. So why is it saying, what are you getting at by the two times what Hashem is saying, you will see it? What's being referenced there?
See the land and you'll see the future.
Says Bruce, the Maharabag, yeah, well, okay, maybe. There's not so much real estate on the page of the Marabag, so we'll say what the Orach Chaim says. The Orach Chaim says, well, you'll see naturally, and then you'll also see Masha'in Koach Bashir Ayin Tabaos. that you will also be able to, you'll be able to see that which there is not normally strength in the regular eyes. I mean, you're not just going to get up and see over the land, but you're going to see all of the land, at least three-dimensionally, not necessarily fourth-dimensionally. Sorry. But yeah, from that part, you could see pretty far. From that part, right? If he's going up on the mountains on the Har Moav, right? They're right. If you've been there, right? They're pretty high up. You could see pretty distantly. In fact, when we the tour guide that we had that day brought, you could get this, a topographical map where it's actually like indented. If anybody sees this anywhere, I'd be interested in getting a copy. Like it's not just topographical in that it's colored in, but that it actually, the plastic bumps out.
Oh, yeah.
So you can actually...
elevations.
Yes. Yes. So my father bought it on the spot from the closest gift shop, which was in that baptismal site you were talking about the other day.
Uh-huh.
Right? So
yeah, yeah.
All right, I don't know if I'm going to be by another place, but we'll get it here. So... I think my father has a copy of it, but yeah. So, but that's pretty high up, that relative to the rest of Israel, and technically you could see. But he was able to see everything. Hashem gave him the full tour, you know, that you get in air-conditioned comfort in the theater as opposed to just out there. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay. We'll put that on tape. All right, so what else do we got? So as we continue on, so Pasuk Tes Vav, he's given his view of the entire land, and then we have this part about figuring out the future. We're going to start up, figure out the next leader. So we pointed out when we read it through on Rashi Day, Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor. Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor. So I did not do a search about whether this is the only place in Tanakh, you know, in the Torah where Moshe speaks to us. Usually it's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So the Or HaChaim does bring this up. He does say, wow, Hinei lama kadam lanu medivreichem shaloshim dibur yagid al mane kasha. Right, that Moshe is using... like rough talk or heavy talk or something in speaking to Hashem. Right? It's when the word diber is to speak, right? Moshe spoke to Hashem as opposed to Moshe said to Hashem. What's the difference between said and speak? Yeah, that is a little softer. Vayomer Hashem and Moshe as opposed to vayidaber. So here it's vayidaber that Hashem, right? Plenty of times Moshe said to Hashem, but this is the only time Moshe, potentially the only time that Moshe spoke to Hashem. So what brought about this reaction? Why was this necessary at this point? So says the Or HaChaim, right? Ve'efshar ki Moshe ba b'tainus mishpat leval yamos. Because Moshe was coming with an argument not to die. I mean, Moshe was sort of saying, Hashem, yeah, you figure out who's going to be the next leader of these people. Implying that if you can't figure out who's going to be the next leader of these people, well, you have a good candidate right over here. Why are you getting rid of me? Just let me keep the job. So v'efshar ki Moshe ba b'tainas mishpat leval yamos v'lo lama shemimanu, not necessarily his ego, el bishvil Yisrael, but for on behalf of the Jews, as we explain, and that's how he carries on through the rest of this pshat, right? L'zeh amar lashon dibur l'pish b'maimer Moshe amurim b'inyan enam el divrei chiba v'rachmanus al Yisrael ein tachas advarim omi bin emar el b'mischayiv mehamaimer shehu minias emisim imenu kasher var v'hu omeres lemor. So Moshe was coming on behalf of the Jews. I guess that's why it's right. I didn't say it explicitly.
So he's not lobbying for Yeshua. He's just Moshe's not lobbying.
No, he was lobbying.
Yeah. That was Rashi's pshat. That was don't mix them together. That's Rashi's pshat. Rashi is assuming that Moshe knows he's dying. Let me lie for my own kids. Or Chaim is saying that no. How do you explain the word vayidaber? Why is Moshe speaking to Hashem that way? So he's saying that because he's speaking on behalf of the Jewish people. He's saying the Jewish people need a leader. So make sure they have a good leader. I'm looking around. I don't see anybody who could potentially be a leader. So therefore, keep me on. Right. The Or HaChaim actually at the end, he says, V'tachlis kavana, He says the purpose of this v'tachlis kavanas divrei Moshe l'Hashem hu al zeh derech. Ani esa kasher aduni dober. I will do as the master says. Aval yitakin davar zeh kodem im yuchal lichanis begeder hatikun v'im lo tiyadas Hashem kason. Right, and let us go in an orderly way. If not, the people will be like sheep without a shepherd. V'yoti mizehu v'lo yamos. So therefore, the outcome of that, right, the logical, take that argument to logical conclusion, is that therefore you shouldn't die. Right, look, if you do find somebody like that, so then I'm willing to step aside and be gathered amongst the people and die. But unless you are able to find somebody, I'm not willing to. Or it doesn't make sense for me to. In the middle of the Orach Chaim, he actually explains that Moshe was looking to die, that he wanted to, after seeing the way Aaron passed away, and that he would be able to then die in such a way and go straight to Gan Eden, so he's willing to do that. But because of the Bnei Yisrael, he can't leave Bnei Yisrael as orphans, so therefore he's willing to stay on. He's willing to push off retirement, real retirement, in order to make sure that the Jews are well taken care of. Now, that's quite a statement. I mean that's to say that Moshe was ready to die, or like almost wanted to. It's not the same as retirement, right? In retirement, people could still come and learn Torah and do mitzvot, as we see. I heard the first Seder every day. But that wasn't exactly what Moshe was saying. So that Orach Chaim is an interesting makor to keep in mind. All right, and then, yeah.
So he's essentially playing for time here, I guess. Kind of. He's not finding anybody. He's putting it to Hashem to either find somebody or keep him around.
Okay, yeah.
When it says that you should play some of your majesty upon him, does that mean that Moshe is...
lost some of his nevuah at that point? Well, he was punished by that he didn't know the answer to the question. But beyond that, he lost his nevuah?
Well, earlier on, when he gave it to the...
It's in Parshas Yisro, but it says there that he lost his nevuah, or there were a couple questions he didn't know answers to?
No, but he was diminished
somewhat. All right, I don't remember that. Okay, could be.
And here it's
Well, Moshe is willing to. Moshe is suggesting, well, keep me on. If not, so Hashem's response is, don't worry, I got someone. Okay, and over the course of that...
How is it translated in Hebrew? How do you
translate that? Translate what?
Which was in the heart scroll, it says majesty.
Where? Minasata mihorcha, you will give from your majesty upon him. Rashi says the kirun or panim, the light off one's face. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe is being diminished, right? Normally Torah is compared to a fire because you can give the fire out to people and you don't lose any of your fire. I'm not sure if that's what it means here. I mean, Moshe is now giving him his majesty by, you know, raising him up. Okay, so then there's in Pasuk Yutes, you read this the other day, right? Ve'amarata oso, lisnei elazar, kono lisnei kol eda. So now this candidate, meaning Yehoshua, you're now going to stand him in front of Elazar, and in front of the entire Eda, right? And you're going to say, v'tzivisa oso le'enahim, and then you will command him, you will charge him in front of their eyes. And then you will give your mehudcha love, and they were for them to hear, etc. So what was this charge that he gave them? So Rashi says, Al Yisrael. And he says, with regards to these Jews, da, shetarchanim heim, and shabanim heim. Realize they're troublesome, and they're rebellious. Right? Al menach shekabel lecha, and you have to accept that. You have to just recognize that's who they are. So Ramban comes along and says, he says, ve'inu nachem ba'an. He's like, I got a bit of a problem with that. Why do you have a bit of a problem with that? Why do you think, what would be the problem with that, Rashi?
The problem with saying that they're rebellious and difficult?
Uh-huh.
environment without.
Well, is it true?
Yeah.
You are. It's true.
Yes. It's not true.
Correct. But what's the problem with that?
It's a different. It's looking at it in one particular way and not.
Because B'nai Yisrael is standing right there, right? It's not exactly the nicest thing to say. If you were to get up at a dinner and say, we thank you for your leadership, despite the fact that these people are all, you know, very difficult to deal with and rebellious, right? It's not the nicest thing, not the nicest way to speak, so, especially in public. It just doesn't seem to fit. How is he using code? Well, that's what Rashi claims he said. Well, there are no words. That would be a nice pshat if he gave words, and Rashi is saying what he meant by the words is the following. But the Torah doesn't actually give you the words. He says you're going to stand in front of the Eda, but it's Sivasa Soleinem. You'll charge him in front of them, meaning you're going to say something to them. So then that leaves open, okay, well, what are you going to say? So Rashi says, oh, you're going to say that these people are very difficult and hard, you know, hard to deal with. They don't wake up in the morning on time, and you got to keep coming back to them, and they don't listen, and they come late to davening, and they talk during shiur. But it's all worth it, right? Like the joke that my father-in-law said when he was honored by his shul after being president. I forgot how's it go? I'm trying to remember the setup. You're the president of the shul, and he walks in, and he, you know, some guy tells him that the lights aren't set, and another guy complains to him that Shabbat Shudas isn't right, another guy comes over and says, you know, it's too hot, right? And another guy comes over and says, you know, I don't understand. Why do you take this job? So he says, what do you mean, for the kavod? So, all right, anyways, so that's the pshat of Rashi. So it comes along the Ramban and says, Ve'inu nachon ve'inai. He says, I don't think so. But Moshe Amar Leinai says, it was in front of them. Right, it makes sense to tell this. I mean, it does make sense, Moshe, to give you a shoe. You should come in recognizing what you have to deal with. But it's not the appropriate time to do it when everybody else is listening in. Right? Not at the inauguration speech, but rather, you know, the night before. Aval b'tziviso tzaleinim, what is that? She yitzavunu b'mitzvos ha-nagid v'ashofet. Rather, he charged him with the mitzvos of being a ruler and being a judge. Ki avor ha-yosel l'rosh efkidem b'yodav yasirenu li'shtadlam od b'neichem v'yos nelcham l'chamas Hashem. Right, recognize you have to work very hard for them, and you're going to fight wars on their behalf, and recognize you're a leader. Right, is that royally tzaleinim? And that makes sense that it would be in front of them, because by charging him with the importance and with the rules of being a leader, you're demonstrating in front of all the people that he is now going to be the leader, right? And that's what's going on here. So, and then he adds in, right, from the Sifrei, that he says, Tzavis Yoshua Rashi, and he adds in Al-Davar HaTalmud, in regards to learning, that Chaskev Yavtzeh, Magid She'im Shnei Parnasim Lador. Also adding in that there can't be two leaders of one generation, there has to be one person in charge. And therefore, I'm wishing to you, Chazak V'yamat, that you should be the next leader, and you should take over, and recognize that you're going to be in charge, as I was, right? You're going to be the one single most important person amongst Klal Yisrael going forward, and that was the charge that he gave him in front of the Eidah, in front of all the people. Now, how do you defend Rashi? I don't know. You gotta think about what a defensive. Why would that sounds like a pretty decent shot? Why would Rashi not take that shot? So that's a good question. Don't have an answer at this point. All right.